950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Friday. Fish Fry Friday.
Ooh.
That's right. St. Patrick's Church of Cedar Lake. I'm heading down there today. 9 miles south of Prior Lake on 13. And it's looking pretty good. St. Patrick's Church of Cedar Lake, I will see you tonight. Get on out and enjoy one of those. They are. You don't have to be a denomination of the church, and it's generally pretty darn delicious. So you're going to have a good time, and it's a pretty good price too. So enjoy your Fish Fry Friday. It is the Matt McNeil Show once again. Matt Hunter here today. How are you today, my friend?
Fantastic.
Final Four. Are you going to go down and partake in any of the activities that are going to go on downtown?
Probably the only thing I'll do is tear some of those down.
Well,
I'm in the stagehand union. So,
are you?
Yeah.
You're going to go down for Katy Perry, aren't you?
I couldn't. I'm not a Capital One member.
Is that one of those deals?
Yeah, I tried. I tried.
Yeah, if you're a Capital One member and you're rich, guess what? You get to go see her. Everyone else, better luck next time on being rich. So that's at the Armory, right?
Yeah.
They're playing that one at the Armory?
Mm-hmm.
Because they're not going to be playing anything at the U.S. Bank Stadium outside of... What are they doing? Well, are they doing... so usually on these bigger events on the Monday night, are they going to do a halftime thing?
I'm sure, because it's on national TV, big broadcast. They'll do something.
Maybe they bring out the Harlem Globetrotters.
I like that.
I would be great. Have like a 30-minute Harlem Globetrotter game.
Yeah.
Oh God, that'd be the best.
Classic.
I would go to the game just to watch that at halftime. Oh. I got into it last night with Stadium Guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, Stadium Guy came at me and I don't know what you're talking about. We're making tons of money off the stadium. All right. No. Okay, first of all, I'm gonna be honest with you. All the times I have researched this, I've spent about 50 hours, I'm dead serious, researching the U.S. Bank Stadium, how the NFL makes money, these big events. The big events do okay, but they don't generally, who hosted the Super Bowl 5 years ago?
I have no clue.
4 years ago.
No clue.
3 years ago.
No clue.
Exactly. You have no idea. You have no idea. It brings in because of the volume of people coming in. You do. What kind of spending do you get? It's the kind of spending that is good. Local businesses. So the local restaurants, bed and breakfasts, stuff like that. Local retail shops. That's good. That they'll pick up some business. That's good. The other one is taxes that are geared towards tourism, mainly like rental car taxes, stuff like that. That does generate some money for your state coffers. But it's not generally $2 billion worth. And the vast majority of money that comes into town is actually wired back to wherever the corporate headquarters of the chains generally are. And so it doesn't do it. And his argument was, well, have you been to Hell's Kitchen on a Sunday morning of Vikings? It's packed. Okay. I'm not saying that doesn't pick up some business. But, okay, math time, all right? Just going off the $1 billion cost of the Vikings Stadium, which it wasn't because of the roads you had to fix, the upgrades to the sewer, the electrical, parks we had to build, elevated walkways we had to build, new light rail stations and stuff like that. All that stuff that had to be fixed and changed and all that stuff. But I'll just go with your number, $1 billion. $1 billion. It was actually a little bit more, but I'll even round it down for you, okay? Vikings play 10 games a year. That's it. 2 preseason games, 8 regular season games. That's all they play. If they play for 20 years, that is a total of 200 games. Okay? 20 times 10 is 200. Okay? At that rate, you would need to generate $5 million in local spending per game to justify the cost of the stadium.
Wow.
$5 million. Now, Matt, what about concerts and stuff? A lot of that money is already accounted for. And a lot of it goes to the Wills, and then some of it goes to the Metropolitan Sports Commission. But it doesn't generally, those smaller events, like a soccer match or a truck pull, I'll even throw like the X Games in there, or a big concert, Taylor Swift comes in and down. Generally, that's not generating too much money. It's in town, but it's a big concert venue. You know, it's the same thing if they were at the XL Energy Center or Target Center, only a smaller venue. You don't generally see too much in the way of money generated from that. Usually it's people going into town, maybe paying for some parking, depending on where they park, but that's about it. You know, the big events, the Super Bowl, Final Four, that does generate some money. But you need a few dozen of those over the life of the stadium to justify it. And you're not going to have, the Final Four will not come back to Minneapolis for what, 20 years? Mm-hmm. Super Bowl won't come back to Minneapolis probably for 30 years, or 20 years again. Until all the reporters who bellyached about, it's cold in Minnesota in February, forget that they, you know, it gets cold in Minnesota in February.
They won't come back till there's a new stadium.
They probably won't. They probably won't. They'll use that as a hey, go build a stadium and you can get the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to pay for it. Oh, Matt, the players pay taxes. Most of the players don't reside in the state of Minnesota. They reside in one of these states that has zero taxes, to which then came one of the better responses I've heard. Well, if we lowered our taxes down to zero, maybe that money would stay here. Okay, let's run this for a second, okay? If we didn't collect any state taxes and they kept their money here, how much in state taxes would we make? Zero. That's right. You're an idiot. They just don't generate it. Twin Stadium, $350. Now, there were some other costs there, some rebuilding and roads and stuff like that, but we'll just go with there. To be fair with the Vike Stadium, I'll just go with the $350 million cost on the Twin Stadium. Here's the difference between the Twins and the Vikings. The Twins have 81 games a year times 20 is what? 1,620 games per game. That's about $273,000. Still, that's a reach, but it's far more attainable than $5 million per game.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at the U.S. Bank Stadium upcoming events. They really only have one a month.
And what's the next one coming in after the Final Four?
Garth Brooks in May.
All right, most of that money's going to be accounted for. Garth gets his cut. The U.S. Bank Stadium guys, Ziggy's going to get his cut. You know, there'll be some generating. Don't get me wrong. Some people will drive in from North Dakota. They might stay at a Holiday Inn or a Days Inn or a Motel 6, or they might stay at a bed and breakfast. Great. Or they might stay with their aunt and uncle. We don't know. But that doesn't generate any money locally.
But then after Garth Brooks, there's a gap till August.
What's the next one in August?
X Games.
And then, of course, the Vikes start in. And then they don't have too many events during the Vikes season. No, this is, it is, here's the thing. Here's what I want you to do. Okay. If you are pro stadium and you don't have too much of a problem with stuff like the money going for schools and stuff like that, or roads or health and human services or the environment, you know, if you're kind of one of those people that, you don't really have a big problem with government spending on that stuff and you're for the stadium, you're being consistent, but your rate of return on the stadium is far less than your rate of return on education, health and human services, stuff like that. It just is. You know, if you invest and you make people healthier, that's a better rate of return than a football game. That just is. You know, you invest in your kids' education, we get an educated workforce, that's a better investment than a football team. That just is. It just is. If you're one of these people, and this is the bane of my existence, of these people who are out there going, you're wasting my taxpayer dollars when they talk about education or roads or you're talking about health and human services. They scream about, you're wasting my taxpayer dollars. And then they're the ones who are out there saying, well, $2 billion, that's not that much money in the realm of things. It means we got to keep a football team. We get football. You're a massive freaking hypocrite. And you can sit there and pull numbers off the Vikings and the NFL's validation pages. Of course they are going to say, oh, these things are great. They're so much money. It keeps a football team in town. And if you like football, that's fine. But then just tone it down a little bit, Johnny spend taxpayer dollars when it comes to, I don't know, your local school district or fixing the roads. Just be a little consistent. And the problem is, the reason why these guys fight so much is because they know they're being inconsistent. They know they're hypocrites. And they just don't want to admit it. So they've come up with this, well, there's a restaurant downtown that gets a lot of people on a Sunday. Wow, really? A restaurant that serves Sunday brunch actually gets people for Sunday brunch, you're saying? Wow, that's amazing. That's almost like the reason why the restaurant's open. You guys can go out and dance all around. And it's nice. You get this event here. There's going to be some cameras here. I would argue in the realm of exposure, the amount of exposure for this versus the Super Bowl is a lot less. I think the Super Bowl would definitely be, I mean, we got a lot more, you know, especially international coverage with the Super Bowl. And it's a little feather in the cap. It is. But if I asked you who was the last time when the Final Four was in town, who won it? Would most people even know?
I was there and I can't remember.
It was Duke.
The last one in Minnesota, was, yeah, that 2000-something?
Or was it 1990-something? I can't remember. But, you know, I believe it was Duke. These things, they're feathers in the cap. And if you took that money and you invested it in the arts, in concerts, in museums, in your education system, yeah, you're right. You might not have a football team, but I guarantee you this, you'd have a hell of a lot more people trying to get into Minneapolis because of the quality of life that's here. That's for sure. 952-946-6205. Another update I have to get to. I got three updates. Of course, obviously, the stadium one. And welcome, by the way, everyone, for Final Four. I'm a bitter, angry liberal. So what are you going to do? I wanted to talk about the dog attack thing from yesterday. Yeah. You heard that story.
Uh-huh.
Thank you to all the people who have shared the picture of this dog. Once again, this is not about the dog. This is about the owner. Friend of mine's walking their dog over at the dog park over at Lake of the Isles. Dog bites their dog three times. Clearly a dog that should not be off leash. The woman who supposedly was the owner of the dog lied about her name, her phone number. We're trying to track this down because clearly this is not a dog that should be allowed to run free. It's not about the dog. It's about the owner. And what we don't want to have is another case where a dog is bit or even killed by this dog. And, you know, that's a public safety hazard. Or a child is attacked by this dog. A lot of people have shared this. I've actually had more people come up to me and say to me, can I vent about another dog issue? And that's about the amount of people that bring dogs into everywhere now, which I have noticed. That all of a sudden you'll see people that are taking their dogs into the mall, into a Taco Bell. It's like, and I, you want to know the truth is, I understand you like your dog. It's not a child. It's a dog. I understand you like it. But especially when it comes to restaurants and food venues, I'm sorry. There's a health issue here. And don't get me wrong. I love the places that have the patios, which are dog friendly and stuff like that. But if you've ever been in a restaurant or a bar and there's pet droppings on the floor of the restaurant and bar, boy, give me that menu. I'm ready for some eatings. There's a lot of people. There's a lot of people that like to bring their dog around. There's not a lot of people that like to clean up after their dog. And that's just the reality of it. So I'm not a big fan of that either. I don't know. I know that there are some places that are trying to limit that, you know, service animals are the only ones, actual legitimate service animals, not some animal that you go online and buy a jacket for off of eBay, and you can, you know, say it's a personal comfort animal. What we're talking to actual service animals that have been trained and stuff like that and are registered. Where you fall down on that, I will just say this, you know, if you take your dog out there and you want to treat your dog like a child, well then treat your dog like a child. And if my child was in a restaurant and decided to drop trow and do their business right in the middle of the floor, I'd clean it up because it's my child. Okay? And if that's your child, you need to clean it up. Bon appetit. 952-946-6205. Finally, some news on what the heck happened up in Mandan, North Dakota. I'll break that down when we do come on back. 952-946-6205. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
You don't have to be beautiful. Total Dog Company is the destination dog food and gear store on the west side of the Twin Cities, with easy access off of 169. We have a growing group of loyal customers and increasing numbers of referrals from dog professionals and dog parents because we carry quality products, give sound advice, and are easy to do business with. Total Dog Company keeps up on the latest developments in dog nutrition and products. Find us in New Hope off of 169 at 9432 36th Avenue North and at TotalDogCompany.com.
This is Ellie Krug from Ellie 2.0 Radio on Mondays from 7 to 8 a.m. Many listeners know that I founded Human Inspiration Works, LLC, which trains on human inclusivity and on how to be welcoming to diverse humans. Today, organizations of all sizes find that they need to train team members on diversity and inclusion. I can do that. Many say that my trainings change the way they see the world. I'd love to help make your organization more welcoming. For more information, go to humaninspirationworks.com. Thank you.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
Hi, this is Laura, and I want to tell you about my family's favorite thing. It's our wood stove. We bought it about 14 years ago from Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. And see, the wood stove has actually paid for itself because we can keep the main area that we live in toasty warm with this great moist heat. But more important than saving money, it has actually improved our lives. Having a fire simplifies life. It provides comfort. It sort of takes the chill out of winter.
I'm Peter Solak. In 1977, I started Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, and I experienced the simple joy of warming myself by a fire. I also realized that the place and the way we embrace fire has evolved in a diversity of forms and styles. So at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, we have brought together the widest selection of our fireplace products and technical knowledge in the Twin Cities. Our mission is to use our knowledge to help you choose the design and function that is right for you and your home.
Visit Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces today and find the right fire for you.
Hey, I'm 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205. We finally have some information about what happened in Mandan, North Dakota. Now, if you have not been following the story, on Monday, police responded to a rental business company where four people were dead. They didn't release the names of the individuals till I think it was Wednesday. And up until today, they had not released any details on how the people had died. Outside of yesterday, they said they had been shot or stabbed, which I'm like, okay. And what my experience has been is that there have been times where police departments will keep details about a serious crime from the public because they don't want guns to get a bad rap. And I didn't know, and that's why we kept asking. And as a matter of fact, there comes a point where, and I understand Mandan, North Dakota's police department probably doesn't get a lot of this stuff, but you do come to a point where the need of the public to know what's going on overrides your need to basically not share specific details. And this is a great example of this, because when you find out what did happen here, how you didn't tell the people about this to give them a heads up about what exactly had happened and, you know, the kind of person that was running around in North Dakota, I don't know. North Dakota man charged Friday in an attack that left four dead at a business that manages a mobile home park where he lives, took steps to avoid detection by snatching up shell casings, changing his clothes, and bleaching a knife and gun, according to court documents. Court documents allege that after shooting and stabbing the victims, Chad Isaac, 44, stole one of the company's vehicles, drove about 1,000 feet, then ditched the vehicle and set out on foot on it for his own truck, parked less than a mile away at a McDonald's. Authorities were able to trace his steps with help from surveillance video at a business along the route, the documents did say. The affidavit and complaint filed Friday over the most details yet on the mystery that has gripped the area since authorities had have found the bodies of four people at RJR Maintenance Management in Mandan, a town near the state capital of Bismarck. But the documents do not reveal a motive for the slayings. Isaac, a chiropractor and U.S. Navy veteran, faces four counts of murder, other charges in the attack. The victims were RJR co-founder Robert Fackler, 52, employee Adam Fuhrer, 42, married co-workers Lois Cobb and William Cobb. A police affidavit portrays a grisly crime scene in which the Cobbs and Fuhrer were shot and stabbed several times. Fackler had multiple lacerations and stab wounds, and first responders tried in vain to resuscitate him. Fuhrer and the Cobbs were all dead when officers arrived. Lois Cobb's death was attributed to a cut on her neck, although she had also been shot, according to the affidavit. Surveillance video shows the assailant entering RGR wearing brightly colored clothing, then leaving in dark clothing less than 15 minutes later. Documents say an employee at the McDonald's told police they saw a man wearing camouflage ski mask, dark pants, and dark shoes get into a white Ford F-150 that morning. Police later linked the vehicle to Isaac, who lives in Washburn, about 35 miles north of Mandan. At his home, they found matching clothes, what they said they'd seen on the videos, spent shell casings and a knife and gun smelling of bleach, court documents say. The owner of the mobile home park, Rolf Eggers, said he never met Isaac and never heard of any problems with him. Eggers, a Bismarck resident who spent his winters in Florida, said he talked to Fackler several times a week and Isaac never came up. So clearly there's some questions on motivation. But I want to be very clear here. Now, first of all, and that's what I've been camp saying, if this was about trying to keep the guns, the reputation of guns safe, then that's wrong. Now, it wasn't. I'm going to buy the fact that the police just they wanted to try to save the community from the grisly details. And this does sound like a pretty vicious killing in this case. But wait, what are you doing? Okay, I don't live in a 22,000-person town. And granted, you're near Bismarck, so probably, 100,000 for the whole area there. But I don't live in a 22,000-person town. I live in Minneapolis, St. Paul. If 2 miles away from me, four people were murdered in an incredibly grisly fashion, shot and stabbed multiple times, and a week went by and the police hadn't told the neighborhoods that this is going on, I would be livid. I would be livid. Think about the amount of parents who send their kids out to a school bus in the morning or from the afternoon, who all of a sudden find out, wait a minute, who's running around? I get you don't deal with this stuff on a regular basis, but there was a need for the community to know, not for salacious details, but because you had a definitive public threat that was out there. And you keeping it quiet is more about your just reluctance to say what actually happened, not what you're supposed to be doing, which is looking out for the better interests of the community. There is a responsibility. I don't believe in. I watched Kevin Costner and Woody Harrelson have that very good actually movie on Netflix about the hunting down of Bonnie and Clyde. And it's actually quite a good movie because those guys were very horrible human beings, but yet they were being treated as heroes. In that case, one of the things which Costner's character and Harrelson's character routinely come up against is the fact that Bonnie and Clyde were beloved. And part of the reason why was there was a reluctance, I think, by the police to release the details of what had happened. And these two were grisly murderers. Do not fool yourself. I mean, we know better today that Bonnie and Clyde were not heroes. We're not people that should have been, cheered or respected. They killed a lot of people, and they did it in a pretty generally a grisly fashion. And yet, but because the police were keeping and people were keeping details away from the public, their myth was allowed to go. Now, I'm not saying that this guy in North Dakota is any kind of local hero by any means. But by keeping the public in the dark, all you do is you fuel speculation, you fuel whether it's rational or irrational fear. You create distrust within your community. And whereas there's a good ending here, we've got the guy. I can tell you right now, if I lived anywhere near this site and I was finding out today what happened to these people, this person's walking around and you didn't tell us, I would not be too happy with how things have gone. And like I said, I can understand this was not about the gun, but, and I understand Mandan, North Dakota, you don't have a lot of experience with this, but you have a responsibility to your community. You don't have a responsibility to me. You can tell me to shut up if you so desire. But I can tell you right now, if I was in Mandan, North Dakota, I would not be happy right now with the police for their lack of information about what the heck had happened in my town, especially when there's a guy running around who had brutally murdered four people. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. Once again, if you would like to sponsor AM950, we do like it when you sponsor us. Some people like to sponsor us. They're big fans of the station, but they don't listen in locally, and so henceforth they can't visit any of the local businesses. It's a way for them to basically be able to help sponsor the station without actually being here, and we do appreciate that. If you'd like more information on how you can do that, you can just give us a call at the regular business line, which is 952-946-8885, 952-946-8885. 8885 is the phone number there. Todd Colad is sponsoring us. He lives over in Spain. Used to live here locally, but lives over there now. His band is Just Folk. They're going to have their new album out. Hopefully, they're finishing mixing it up. They'll hopefully be out in May. They put out one single out, Don't Turn the Lights Out, this week. And this is actually for Michael, their bass player, Michael Carvel, who played locally with the Lamont Cranston band and Myra and the Moonshiners. He had a serious health crisis while he was recording this, was able to recover, and they wanted to put that song out for Michael as they are working on the album. Don't Turn the Lights Out. Look for the link tonight on Twitter and Facebook. I'll put that out there. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Melissa Hortman expertly trolls Senator Gazelka. I'll talk about that in a second. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
This is Ellie Krug from Ellie 2.0 Radio on Mondays from 7 to 8 a.m. Many listeners know that I founded Human Inspiration Works, LLC, which trains on human inclusivity and on how to be welcoming to diverse humans. Today, organizations of all sizes find that they need to train team members on diversity and inclusion. I can do that. Many say that my trainings change the way they see the world. I'd love to help make your organization more welcoming. For more information, go to humaninspirationworks.com. Thank you.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
Hi, this is Laura, and I want to tell you about my family's favorite thing. It's our wood stove. We bought it about 14 years ago from Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. And see, the wood stove has actually paid for itself because we can keep the main area that we live in toasty warm with this great moist heat. But more important than saving money, it has actually improved our lives. Having a fire simplifies life. It provides comfort. It sort of takes the chill out of winter.
I'm Peter Solak. In 1977, I started Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, and I experienced the simple joy of warming myself by a fire. I also realized that the place and the way we embrace fire has evolved in a diversity of forms and styles. So at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, we have brought together the widest selection of our fireplace products and technical knowledge in the Twin Cities. Our mission is to use our knowledge to help you choose the design and function that is right for you and your home.
Visit Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces today and find the right fire for you.
April showers bring May flowers, but make sure no flowers are growing out of your carpet this spring. You know that bacteria and allergens build up in your carpeting, crushing hopes and dreams of healthy indoor air. Only my friends at Zero Res clean with healthy, clean-powered water. Call Zero Res right now, 952-ZERO-RES, or go online at ZeroResMinnesota.com and tell them you want the AM950 special. Zero Res, spell it backward or forward, it spells the same.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Indeed, Hazel's Northeast is the local Minnesota.com restaurant of the week. Now, one thing I really like about Hazel's, it's not downtown. So, with all the people heading on downtown, it's just a far enough out.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Perfect this weekend.
That actually is perfect. I mean, if you're looking for a place to go that you're not going to have to deal with a lot of traffic, Hazel's Northeast, great breakfast over there. And that's just start a Saturday or a Sunday with breakfast over at Hazel's. You will thank me later. 29th and Johnson, Northeast Minneapolis, Hazel's Northeast, the localminnesota.com restaurant of the week. 952-946-6205. So, let's recap a little bit about the gun control issue in the state of Minnesota. A reminder, one of the reasons why the Democrats now control the House is because Republicans decided, we don't care about how many people like gun control. We're never going to vote against guns. Guns are the greatest. Paraphrasing that. I mean, I think that was, kind of the summation of the standard Republican response to this. But 90% of the state want common sense gun regulations. Not gun turrets at elementary schools. Not kids wielding bulletproof whiteboards. They want common sense gun regulations to try to prevent people who are dangerous people from getting guns. And there were two, now that the emboldened Republicans, or excuse me, the emboldened Democrats who had won back the House, had pretty much targeted two bills that were going to come up for a vote, and they're going to try to push through this session. Stricter criminal background checks, which include criminal background checks on all gun sales. But, Matt, what if my cousin wants to buy a gun from me, just in the family? Do a background check. You don't know your cousin. You don't know what's going on with them. And you can say you do. You don't. And we should have background checks for every stinking sale. If that's a dad to a kid, I don't care. Every gun sale should have a background check. And this gets rid of this massive loophole, which CityPage has exposed. 20,000 guns have been bought in Minnesota without background checks via online websites. So we're going to get rid of all these loopholes that these Republicans want to keep open. They want unfettered gun access in Minnesota. That's what they want. They want that. So we're going to try to get that taken care of. The other one, a extreme risk protection order is allowing police to confiscate guns from dangerous people. This is common sense. If you know someone is, I mean, one of the things which has been common with these, especially these shooters who shot up schools and stuff, is there seems to have been a history of clear mental issues which should have triggered some sort of removal of guns from this guy's periphery. You know, that the gun should not have been in this person's house. And so we're going to put a bill into place where that if a family member and a police officer say, hey, this is not a good idea, we're going to take those guns away. Because that's only common sense. But once again, don't you dare! Don't you dare try to keep track of all the gun sales! Don't you dare try to take guns away from crazy people! Don't you dare! That's the Republican rebuttal. Once again, 90% of the people of the state of Minnesota, 90% want these two bills passed. Paul Gazelka, the Republican leader of the Senate. First of all, let's just, and everyone make sure he hears this. He's a dishonest jackass. He, before this even session started, he vowed that no gun will ever be harmed on my watch in Minnesota. Ever! I'm paraphrasing. But he made it pretty clear before the session started that no matter what, that the NRA had said, here, boy, and That's a Senate Majority Leader right there. Responding to the NRA's call of, here, boy. Who wants a campaign donation? Who wants a campaign donation? There he is, ready to do their bidding. So Gazelka then tried to play the statesman, and clearly he needs some acting classes because it was clear his goal was to kill these in Senate committee, to build up a Senate committee made up of Republicans from outstate areas, non-suburban areas, because the suburban areas, if he puts a suburban Republican on the line, they're in big trouble. So it's going to be Republicans from outstate Minnesota primarily, all saying, never going to stop guns because the NRA told us not to. I mean, reasons. Or something like that. Like I said, I'm paraphrasing. I'm just, it's a behavior thing. I don't know exactly what their motivations are, but they sure seem to be bought and paid for, don't they? Just saying. Because 90%, 90% of the state wants common sense gun laws. And their general calm, rational response, as sized up by Cal Barr, House Republican in the Senate, in the Capitol Rotunda, throw them to the curb, stomp on them, and run over them a few times, talking about the Democrats in the House who are writing these bills. You know, rational discussion. So Gazelka's argument was, well, if they're standalone bills, even though there was no companion bill in the Senate, he said that if the House passed these bills on an individual vote, each bill gets their own vote, he promised, I promise, we'll get them committee hearings so we can kill them in committee. I mean, give them a chance. Something like that. I'm paraphrasing, Hunter. I'm paraphrasing. Of course, the Democrats are not buying Gazelka's. They already know where Gazelka's at. So Democrats got a little creative. I'm going to read from the CCO story here, TV Channel 4 here. Minnesota's top Republican in the state capitol declared gun safety bills dead. They're dead for the year. In his rational response, that's after Democrats used a parliamentary maneuver to force a vote on gun control. House Democrats made gun safety a top 10 priority this year and stalled for lack of support in the Republican Senate. Now they're trying to force a vote with a gamble. After weeks of protest, House Democrats are wrapping the contentious gun bills into a much larger key public safety measure to guarantee that it gets a vote. Melissa Hortman, Minnesotans have demanded that this legislator take action to prevent gun violence. The gun measures would likely fail in the Senate, where Republicans want a single up or down vote, and they're not going to even give it to a vote on the floor. They'll kill it in committee. This move here, here is the rational Senate Majority Leader Paul Gazelka's statement quoted here in the Channel 4 story. Which means these bills are basically dead. These gun control bills are dead, said Paul Gazelka. The public safety bill includes millions of dollars for disaster assistant state corrections, including prisons and prison guard safety, Amber Alerts, and DWI enforcement. And now also the gun control measures are in that bill, including money for disaster assistance. The budgets at the end of there are already difficult. So put these, the budget bill that must be passed makes it very, very problematic. No, this is actually a brilliant maneuver by Melissa Hortman, because it's going to force you guys to have to vote on this, because you can go in and strip that stuff out in your committees in the Senate, but you're going to have to go back to conference committee. And the House is going to demand those two provisions are in that public safety bill. So it's going to eventually get to the floor. The only way you're going to do it is if you kill the bill in Senate committee. And you might do that. You might say to yourself, it's just too dangerous. You don't want all these Republicans, because reminder, you don't have a big majority in the Senate. So you, all those suburban Republicans who are terrified of gun issues right now because they saw what happened in 2018, They're going to have to vote with you for the most part to make sure this bill doesn't pass. So you're probably going to have to kill it in committee and just kind of hope that you can weather the storm of making sure that Minnesota doesn't have money for disaster assistance, state corrections, Amber Alerts, and DWI enforcement. This is actually a brilliant maneuver by Melissa Hortman, the Speaker of the House, because it's your call. Come on, Republicans. Come on, Gazelka. Come on, man. Yeah, chicken? Come on, man. Are you chicken? Vote it down. Give it a chance, Paul. Give it a chance, Johnny Lapdog. Give it a chance. Put that bill on the House or the Senate floor and let the senators vote for it. Because I guarantee you, especially in some of your Republican districts, they're needing some disaster assistance after this spring. And so for them, two common sense gun bills, which basically have 90% approval in the state, those are a simple compromise to make sure they get the disaster relief assistance for their community. This is not difficult. We're not talking about some sort of unpopular bill. 90% of the state wants these common sense gun bills. So for you guys to vote this down, not only are you taking the side of the NRA, not only are you taking the pro-gun side, not only are you responding to your master's demands after they gave you your campaign donations, or something of that matter. I don't know exactly what your priorities are, guys. I'm just taking a guess. But come on, you chickens. Come on, you cowards. Vote on the bill. Put it on the floor of the Senate, Paul. Make them vote. You see, as you guys have created a world where you don't have to take these votes. You try to create this world where all the Democrats have to take tough votes, and now the Speaker of the House has put it back on you to where you Republicans are going to have to make a tough vote. And so you have to sit there and ask yourself, are Amber Alerts more important to you, or is your benevolence to the NRA the most important thing? Is local community emergency funding for disaster relief important for you, or is your betrothed the NRA and Wayne LaPierre, is that the most important thing for you? These are not true extraordinary measures as far as gun rules. A background check for all sales and the ability to remove guns from someone who is clearly mentally impaired. These are not sacrifices that the founding fathers would be outraged by. Well-regulated militia. It's in there. You guys like to skip on past it. So I'm going to call you guys out on this. My gut feeling is you're a coward, Gazelka. You're a coward because you're going to let this thing go into a committee and die there and just sort of say, we're not going to have a public safety bill this year. But the reality is put it on the floor and then show us all who you really worship, Paul. Show us who you worship. Because you know what? If you need the disaster assistance, if you need the money for state corrections, if you need the money for Amber Alerts, if you need the money for DWI enforcement, if you need that money, well then two popular gun control measures should not be that much of a sacrifice for you. You were dishonest this entire time. And the Speaker of the House has put you in your place, Senator Gazelka. It's time for you to have to make a determination. And so get all your suburban Republicans to vote against this bill and set up 2020 for another massive loss for the Minnesota Republican Party. Please, I beg of you, do it. Come on, do it. Vote it down. Come on. Are you going to stand by the people who gave you all your money or the people of Minnesota? It's your call, Senator Gazelka. It's your call. And trust me, you can either pass this bill and we get common sense gun laws, or you can kill this bill and we will take out so many Republicans in 2020, it will make your head spin. Good luck. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. I like taunting sometimes. I do. Come on, big man. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hi, this is Laura with Food Freedom Radio, Saturdays at 8 a.m. Climate change is real, the soil's being depleted, and water's becoming more polluted. Knowing is not enough. Time for action. Go plant a garden. Stop pesticide use. Learn about CSAs. Seward Community Co-op is going to be hosting a CSA fair all day on April 27th. Learn about innovation like organic farmer Bob Quinn, who's speaking at Common Good Books on April 8th. Or go to a barn dance in Red Wing, the Land Stewardship Project, on April 27th, 5 to 9. And listen to Food Freedom Radio, Saturdays at 8 a.m. Crooner's Lounge and Supper Club is delighted to offer its spacious facilities for your private function. From weddings, retirement parties, business dinners, or any special occasion, Crooner's combines a dedicated full-service special events team, an award-winning chef, and a beautiful lakeside ambiance to make your event a resounding success. Visit croonersloungemn.com to learn more about their private dining options or call 763-571-9020 to get a quote for your next event today.
Tom Hartman here telling you that solar energy isn't just for environmentalists. Switching to all-energy solar is actually perfect for reducing your carbon footprint while also saving money on your monthly electric bill. The fact that solar panels cause no earth-harming emissions while it's producing energy is a bonus. Who in the world could object to that? But they can also help you save money month after month for decades. And they do it with a clean footprint. So go green and start saving money today by visiting allenergysolar.com.
The Electric Fetus wants your used music. The used music buying bonanza is going on now at the Electric Fetus. Sell your vinyl, CDs, and DVDs from now through April 7th and receive an extra 50% based on the quote if you choose store credit. That's 50% more to use on more music or gifts. So bring your LP, CDs, and DVDs to the Electric Fetus. They're located at 2000 4th Avenue South and open 9 to 9 weekdays, 9 to 8 on Saturdays, and 11 to 6 on Sundays. And please note the store is closed April 1st for inventory.
The fine folks at Common Good Books will help you find the perfect book for you or the book lover in your life. Find a huge selection from a locally owned and independent bookseller in the Twin Cities. They are always bringing in top authors from around the globe for special in-store events. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Find Common Good Books at 38 South Snelling Avenue in St. Paul or shop online at commongoodbooks.com.
You know, if Gazelka was smart, he'd actually let the bill go to the floor and tell the Senate Republicans who are suburban Republicans, vote for it. Vote for it. Then they can basically campaign that they voted for common sense gun laws. The bill will get passed so this other stuff happens. And they'll there. I just don't think that they will. I think the NRA is going to pull on that leash hard and demand all Republicans, we've given you all this money. You better vote how we tell you to. And so my gut feeling is that Gazelka is not going to even risk it, and just it will kill it in committee and just sort of say there's not going to be a public safety bill. So 952-946-6205. Hey, Sunday, if you are a guy, you could start working on Sunday and for the first day of your year and still make the same amount of money as women do. Seriously. Isn't that the saddest thing? The median Minnesota man could start work on Sunday, the 97th day of 2019, still make the same amount of money as the median Minnesota woman will make this year. That's because working women in Minnesota make about 73 cents for every dollar men make, according to data from the U.S. Census Bureau. For women of color, that gaps are even bigger. Some of that's because of the jobs men and women work. Women disproportionately work in low-paying jobs, and there are fewer women than men in top management roles. But despite state and federal laws that prohibit employers to pay women less than men for the same jobs, the differences in the jobs men and women work, experts say some of that pay disparity still has to do with discrimination. But reminder, we don't need an equal rights amendment. We don't need equal rights in the state of Minnesota. No, you just still have a case where the average man can start work on the 97th day of the year and still make the same amount of money as a woman.
Yeah, that's crazy. That really puts it in perspective.
But hey, it's part of the Republican brand nowadays. And Colin Peterson, let's not forget him. Let's call him out here really quick. The House, U.S. House, passed legislation. By the way, you know, it's nice to see that the Republicans, Stein said it best, it's a big difference between opposing and having to run things. And these Republicans just don't know how to run anything.
Yeah, no, that's true.
And they don't. And they're setting themselves up for... I've said this. If they just went and embraced, say that all of a sudden they came on out and said, we're for a Medicaid, Medicare expansion. Republicans would win the next five elections. They would. They would. If they became the party of healthcare and just said, you know what, we're going to just eat this issue. We're going to expand Medicaid and Medicare for all and go with it. Democrats would just sit there going, well, how do we win? You're going to be in trouble. But they can't get out of their own way. You know, these gun laws, you know, you can just go on out there and pass these gun laws as part of the safety bill. Instead, you know, watch them, you know, screw that up.
You're right. In Minnesota, if they did that, they would potentially win.
Oh, yeah, they would. They would. You get a bill like the reauthorization of the Violence Against Women Act. You'd say to yourself, okay, come on. Do I really want to give myself the ability to be torn apart by women's groups in the upcoming election? For 157 Republicans, yep, they do. Yep, they indeed do. Yep. The bill, which reauthorizes the landmark 1994 domestic violence law for another 5 years, easily passed, still with the House Democrats. But 157 Republicans voted against it. For many of them, it was because the NRA was pushing them to oppose it over its gun safety provisions and warning that a vote in favor of the bill would reflect in their NRA rating. So once again, violence against women, bad, or the NRA. And most Republicans said, you know what? I'm okay with some violence against women. I'm not okay with going against the NRA. You guys can't get out of your own damn way at this point. And I got news for you. The NRA, I use the Russian pronunciation, my bad. The NRA eventually is going to be discovered as being a front for laundering money from the Russians into these campaigns. And when that does happen, boom. But you guys like to snuggle up to them. Under current federal law, only people convicted of domestic violence offenses against spouses or family members can lose their gun rights. The Violence Against Women Act would add people convicted of abusing their dating partners, closing the so-called boyfriend loophole. It would also prohibit people convicted of misdemeanor stalking offenses from owning or buying firearms, as well as abusers subject to temporary protective orders. Most of the GOP caucus opposed the bill because of the gun measures, said Pete King, Republican of New York, one of the 33 Republicans who voted for it. There are some Republicans who could see the get out of the way. But if I could also make sure I mention, one single Democrat voted against the reauthorization of the Violence Against Women's Act. That was our own Colin Peterson. Dear God. And I know if Colin Peterson holds the 7th, For the DFL. I understand that. But for God's sakes, at what cost? At what cost do we have to keep this clown in the DFL? Can we please primary his ass? Please? I don't mind we lose 7. I would rather have someone that actually is somewhat in line with the Democratic principles. Have a good weekend. I'm off to a fish fry. We're back on Monday. Till then, see ya.